fraud allegations are still shaking Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, welcome to the Morning Open. I'm Bob Moon. The tremors that began on Wall Street at the end of last week linger this morning, it seems. Today, there's word the fraud accusations leveled Friday against investment behemoth Goldman Sachs could be spreading to other countries. And we've watched global financial markets register their nervousness all morning long. So what's Wall Street doing this hour? A weak open and mixed results this morning. The Dow began lower but has now nudged a tiny fraction into positive territory. The NASDAQ is down around 1%. The S&P 500 slightly lower. The bright spot this morning is Hasbro. Its shares are up 1% after the toymaker reported a better-than-expected quarterly profit. Halliburton reported a 46% drop in its first quarter profit, but that, too, was a little better than anticipated, and shares of the oilfield services company are slightly higher. The big question this morning is, can investors get past their Goldman Sachs fraud worries? Joining us live to talk about that is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. Sam, you downgraded Goldman, right?
Good morning, Bob. Yes, our equity analyst downgraded the shares on Friday primarily because, as you said, the uncertainty surrounding the fraud allegations and the possibility of further actions.
Well, what's the worry here that this could be contagious and spread to other banks? Is S&P going to be downgrading other banks?
Certainly, that is a concern that the analysts will be taking a look at, is that we could see additional pressure on the financial sector as we see increased concerns over this kind of a suit being brought to other companies, but also on a broader basis to see what kind of financial regulatory constraints could be placed upon the entire sector.
Well, we're seeing signs of nervousness now, right now on Wall Street. I just am watching now the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ all nudging into the green just ever so slightly. Could this nervousness foreshadow this correction that we've been hearing about for so long?
Well, there are an awful lot of what I call Armageddon awaiters who are on the sidelines, who are just looking for some sort of a situation like this to say this is the beginning of a 10 to 15% decline. My answer is, so what? Because historically we get a 10 to 15% decline in the second year of a bull market, and usually what it does is present a nice buying opportunity for 12 months later.
Well, we'll keep watching. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
As we mentioned earlier, it seems regulators abroad are ready to pile on Goldman Sachs. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown wants to expand an investigation in his country. We're joined by our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Bob.
So why is the British government getting involved in the crackdown on a Wall Street firm?
Because the British taxpayers are among the biggest victims of the alleged fraud. The CDO, this complex financial product at the centre of the case, was insured by a bank which was taken over by the Royal Bank of Scotland, which itself had to be taken over by the UK government when it got into trouble. This meant that a bank now owned by the British taxpayers had to pay out more than $800 million to Goldman Sachs when this derivative blew up. So the government here has called for the British regulator to investigate this Goldman deal.
I wonder, does Goldman have to worry about a domino effect happening here, investigations from more and more countries?
Well, very possibly. We've also had the German government getting pretty angry and saying it's considering legal action against Goldman. Goldman's been involved in financing deals with governments around Europe. And Stefano Harney, a professor with Queen Mary University Business School, says there could be a string of European lawsuits if the SEC action is successful.
I can certainly understand why governments in Europe would bother going on the offensive at this point, because they want to get in and say, well, if there's going to be compensation in addition to a fine, I want to be part of that. Goldman Sachs could be looking at some pretty big payouts.
And he says the bank could suffer massive reputational damage here as well. It's already notorious for allegedly helping a former Greek government hide its debts. This story will only further blacken Goldman's name.
Thank you, Stephen Beard in London.
Okay, Bob.
There are more than just hints that there could be more financial shoes to drop soon. According to today's Wall Street Journal, a federal criminal investigation of the former mortgage giant Countrywide could be close to yielding charges. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, the 19th of April, 2010, at marketplace.org. Democrats are hoping to bring their financial overhaul bill to the Senate floor this week. The idea behind the bill is to prevent another financial crisis. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at the main ways the bill could do just that.
Backers of the financial overhaul have settled on putting a consumer watchdog in the Federal Reserve. Now sparks are flying over how to handle derivatives, complicated investments that contributed to the meltdown. Mary Botari with Americans for Financial Reform says the legislation creates public exchanges for most derivatives.
They would take a lot of these derivative deals out of the shadow markets and put them on an open, transparent market.
Financial firms would also contribute to a fund for dismantling failing banks. But Charles Elson says none of this would prevent another financial crisis. He teaches corporate governance at the University of Delaware. His point is we'd still rely on the same government regulators who missed the first crisis.
In other words, if someone drives you into the woods and gets you lost, is that the right person to drive you out of the woods? And the answer is no.
And Elson says no matter what powers regulators get, there's no way to avoid financial crises. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In Illinois, a state financial aid program for low-income college students is running out of money. As of today, the state will suspend the program, leaving thousands of students without a key source of financial aid. So state officials are getting creative. From our education desk, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Danielle Medine is a sophomore at Roosevelt University in Schaumburg, Illinois. She's putting herself through school with loans and grants, and by working two jobs, she gets about $5,000 a year from the state of Illinois.
It makes a huge difference. You know, if I don't get this grant, I may have to take out another loan or pick up more hours.
Medine's application for next year is already in, but as of today, students who apply for grants may be out of luck.
We are projecting that approximately 220,000 students will apply for aid, be eligible for it, and not receive it.
Andrew Davis is head of the state agency that runs the grant program. He says in each of the last 2 years, applications have gone up 30%. The tough economy has left more students in need of help when the state is least able to afford it. So Davis has proposed a novel solution. He wants Illinois to sell bonds to investors to fund the grant program. He says the state stands to profit. A lot of these grants go to community college students. The agency's research has shown that low-income people who go to community college end up paying far more state income tax than those who don't.
And that increase in taxes more than justifies the state making the investment in helping them go to school.
The state legislature would have to approve the plan. With Illinois already heavily in debt, Davis expects some opposition. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Starting today, Rolling Stone magazine is putting its archives online. As Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports, you can relive the past as far back as 1967, but it'll cost you.
Want to read every Rolling Stone article written about Bob Dylan since the 1960s? Well, for $30, you get access to all of that, plus a copy of the print magazine for a year. Stephen Schwartz is with Wenner Media, the magazine's parent company. He says this is the first time the public can access the full archives online.
So it's not like we had offered this all up for free and we're putting it behind a paywall. This is brand new.
It may be new to Rolling Stone, but
it's definitely the direction that the entire industry is moving in.
Ken Wilber teaches marketing at Duke University. He says as big newspapers start charging online readers, specialty magazines like Rolling Stone can cash in too.
When you have a niche audience, sometimes you can actually charge those guys more because there are fewer substitutes for your product.
I mean, where else will you find decades of Hunter S. Thompson's ramblings? I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, seems Microsoft dialed up some trouble with an ad for its new line of hip and happening Kin mobile phones. A partygoer in the video ad sticks the phone up his shirt and sends an image of his bare chest to a seemingly amused female friend. Now, for pitching the Kin as a perfect way to send explicit photos, Consumer Reports labeled the ad downright creepy. So Microsoft has now lifted its shirt
as in it's removed the offending scene, which it says did not come across in the spirit with which it was intended. And what was the intention? Capturing the energy and playfulness of the generation of social communicators. So go forth and be playful. Just not that playful. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We're glad to have you with us today. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.